This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. I'm singing the last number. 603-283-6160.
But it's not an O, it's zero.
It is zero. You're right. It is, yes. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
We just had a pretty interesting first hour.
Yeah.
Talking to Daniel Bonnier of Vermont.
Paulet.
Paulet, somewhere near West Paulet. He owns 30 acres out there. He built a bit of a farm and a firearms, a golf range. Training facility, if you will. He had a couple different firing ranges and would have, you know, different people come out. Anybody who wanted to train, you know, could come up and, you know, have a safe place to do so, like out of the way. Like 30 acres is a lot of land, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, like, out of the way, right? It's safe, right? And, you know, nobody's going to, you know, be hit by like a stray thing coming out of his firing range, you know, that kind of a thing.
It's not like downtown Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yeah, he got all the permits and everything that he needed to get. He jumped through all the hoops, and yet the town is trying to railroad him. It's a pretty interesting case. You can just search Daniel Bonnier, B-A-N-Y-A-I. There's a bunch of news articles about him in a situation. There's also some YouTube videos of him fighting these people as well. So I want to thank him again for calling in and sharing his story. Before we go on, I need to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. All right. So, did you guys have any other thoughts on that?
Dash? It's great.
No, on Daniel.
I love Dash.
Daniel, on Daniel's situation. Okay. All right, we'll move on.
Well, what about the Give, Send? He had the Give, Send, Go,
yeah,
right?
Free Slate Ridge, is that what it was?
I accidentally closed it. I'll find it again.
Just hit the Free Talk Live page.
We'll post it on our socials. And there's also a really great YouTube video that I'll be sure to...
It's givesendgo.com/StandWSlateRidge. Stand with Slate Ridge. The W is short for...
Yeah,
givesendgo.com/StandWSlateRidge. So, there we go.
And there was a YouTube video that did a pretty nice summary. It's like 30-minute-long YouTube video. That I can send to you, Captain, if you want to get that posted on our socials and whatnot.
We can do that. So we've done that. Let's go right away to, we have another caller. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to call in and say thank you for letting me listen.
Sure.
And that's supposed to be a radio joke, because you can't stop me.
I was going to say, you're welcome.
You're welcome?
Yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Also, I wanted to apologize for not calling in as often as I should. Sarah from New Mexico seems to have put me to shame.
I'm going
to do my best to remedy that.
What was your name again?
Inconvenient Keith.
Inconvenient Keith?
Tooth.
I thought he said teeth.
Oh, tooth. Like, singular, like, okay,
one
gotcha.
Tooth.
All right. So
there's only one of me.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, just those things, mostly.
Yeah? Okay.
If you want me to throw something out there, I would urge the listeners to take your kids out of public school.
I love that. Yep, wow. Thank you. That's a great
message.
That's
a little nugget of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the people who say things like, well, if your kid doesn't go to school, they won't be normal. That's the point.
Right. Yeah. But also, like, have you seen public school kids? Like, what? So what is our definition of normal? Because there's, like, litter boxes in yeah, right, classrooms right, right now. So
we reached Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
The children would be better off sitting around playing video games.
Yeah. They'd learn more than they would in public school, absolutely.
Yeah, the thing about learning is that it doesn't require an institution.
Mm-hmm.
people have been learning, like, all of their lives.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like, compulsory, you know, institutionalized learning facilities are very much a new thing, you know. And once you learn about the history of where these schools came from, like, first it was the Catholic, Church, right? And they were just trying to get people to obey God and obey the church. And then, you know, it moved on to the state. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, if we make this compulsory and we force people to send their kids here, we will have obedient, you know, citizens,
workers,
and they will obey the state, and we will teach them the word of the state. It's very much about obedience and compliance, and it has nothing to do with education or learning.
John Taylor Gatto wrote some real good stuff tracing the history of modern public schooling,
yep,
to the old Prussian system during World War I,
yep,
where, like, what they were trying to develop was a way to get people to work in factories and get them trained up as quickly as possible with a minimal amount of time spent teaching them how to, you know, pull the levers and, you know, turn the wheels and that, right, type of a thing. And so they found that this system of, like, chairs in a row
Rosen, yeah,
and, you know, somebody up at front with a stick and, you know, an authoritarian figure, right, going over the material was, like, the fastest way to train these factory employees. And so when they found out that that worked and that people were just smart enough to pull the levers, but not smart enough to question why,
yeah,
then all of a sudden governments were like, hey, this is interesting.
We could use this.
We could do this to our citizenry and keep them just dumb enough to keep electing us.
Yeah.
But not smart enough to, you know, rebel, right, against their paradigm.
Give them some drinking fountains with fluoride in it.
Yeah, well, and that's why so many people, when you start saying things like this, like, we don't need schools. Like, you can be educated outside of schools, and there, yeah, are better, more efficient ways to do this, mm-hmm, that don't involve imprisoning children. People freak out, because this is one of my favorite topics, right? So I, like, post a Facebook status, like, public schools are prisons, and then And then people will comment on it, and they're like, they freak out. They're like, what do you mean? How are we going to educate the children? And I even had, I have one of my old teachers from middle school on Facebook, and she commented on that status about public school. I was quoting Peter Gray,
yeah,
in his book Free to Learn. And she goes, oh, does that make me a prison guard?
Oh, you're just poking the hornet's nest, aren't you?
And I didn't really want to get into it, you know, on Facebook comments, but I guess I'll get into it on the radio. And what I really wanted to say was, no, actually, you're far worse than a prison guard. Mm. Because prisoners were, allegedly, they did something wrong. They were convicted of a crime. The only crime these children committed was that they are under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the compulsory schooling laws, yep, in the United States, they are forced to be here against their will.
Yep.
I mean, the levels of hopelessness and the rates of suicide are higher than they were in World War II or the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and these are, like, this is real stuff.
Yeah. If any of our listeners out there, you know, are willing to do a real life comparison, go take a tour of your local prison.
Yeah.
And then go take a tour of your local high school.
If they let you into the high school to take a tour, they probably won't.
Well, I mean,
Yeah. Unless your child goes there.
There's ways. You could do it in the...
what, you got to do an audit
the off
school?
Season, you know? Oh, yeah, look, my sister's moving here, and I just want to take a tour of the school so I can tell her about... Yeah. You know, there's ways.
You can say you're a taxpayer. Yeah.
Same bricks on the wall, same flooring.
They use the same suppliers for school lunches as they do prison food.
Yep, it's not by accident.
Yeah. Like these are all government contracts, right? There's a whole lot of similarity between what schools do and what prisons do, because the thing about government is, as an institution, it only knows one thing, and that's force. That's coercion, right? So you're talking about, I'm trying to remember the truancy officers, right? Right? These are the guys that come around and make sure your kids are in school.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you didn't say, how come? Oh, did you know that it's illegal for you not to send them to school and all this kind of thing? And it's up to the parents to fight back against
it. But is it really illegal to not send your kid to school?
Well, they have to be registered as, and you can even do unschooling. Like, you don't need to have, like, any sort of homeschooling curriculum as long, and it depends.
Yeah, but you can't.
As long as you fill out the state paperwork, they just need to your kids to be on the record.
Right. You can't just not send your kids to school. That's illegal.
You have to opt out with the paperwork.
Well, they'll send people to kidnap your children.
Right, and possibly you as well.
Right.
Yeah, and possibly you as well.
We know they can do that.
Inconvenient Tooth, comments?
Yes. I would like to say further that I think a lot of people know exactly how bad the public school system is, and they just keep using it because it's a free babysitter. But I would say that it's going to be easier to just cut that now to get your kids out than it is to deal with the aftermath of indoctrinating them that way for that long. Get your kids out.
I couldn't agree more.
I agree as well. And I think most people are indoctrinated themselves, so they don't see anything wrong with the system. A lot of people don't think the way that we think, I suppose.
Right.
So they don't see anything wrong with public school. But I do think any freedom-minded person, any libertarian, anarchist-leaning person, probably most of the listeners of this show, if your kids are in public school, like, you might really want to think about it. Like, this isn't public school. This is a government indoctrination center.
It really is.
You know, imagine, that's what it is.
Imagine if your children had to go to a place 5 days a week for 12 years where everything was branded Nike.
Yeah.
Right? I pledge allegiance to the swoosh of the United Shoes or, you know, whatever kind of thing. And, you know, the bell goes off. Okay, Nike kids, it's time for you to go to your next Nike class, right?
Yeah.
You know, are your kids going to be predisposed? Are your kids going to be brainwashed to believe that Nike is all powerful and all good and all things Nike?
Yeah.
And they couldn't possibly be bad. Of course
they're not going to want to wear Adidas.
The difference, between the mafia and the government is that the mafia doesn't have a 12-year indoctrination program to put your kids through to make them believe that the mafia is doing good. But the state does, and that's why everybody thinks that the state is okay, that public education, government education, that is okay. Any other thoughts there, Tooth?
Nope, that's it. I'll let you guys get back to it.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Call us again sometime. Don't let Sarah in New Mexico, you know.
Shame you too bad. We haven't heard from her in a while.
It's been a while,
Perhaps. I think she's still working on her pyramid scheme.
Oh, she might be really busy with that, yeah.
Isn't that more of a triangle scheme at this point?
Two-dimensional, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not really a pyramid. It's more like a triangle. Like, you're at the top and all your friends are at the bottom. So it's a triangle.
Well, someone's at the top, but I don't think it's...
Right, it's probably the owner of the company, and you're kind of in the middle.
It's not Sarah or the girl you went to high school with. It's somebody else who's at the top.
The CEO.
I'm just trying to think of other, like, parallels to public school that I can
prison.
Draw. I mean, prison, yes. It's definitely...
It's monopolistic.
It's a brainwash camp.
And it definitely, I mean, it carries on from public school to then, like, the 40-hour work week, where kids that go to public school are a lot less likely to start their own business or be entrepreneurs than kids that were homeschooled.
Yes, homeschooled kids also attend college earlier and more successfully.
Well, And that is a common misconception because people, that's the big thing, right? College, college, college. Even though we all know that college doesn't guarantee you a job or a well-paying job.
Yep. Guarantees you debt.
Guarantees you debt, absolutely, for sure. But people, a lot of parents are very concerned about their kids getting into a good college. That's a very big concern.
Mm-hmm.
What my thoughts of that are irrelevant at this point. But homeschooled kids absolutely can qualify to go to college. There are homeschooled kids that have gotten into Harvard and other Ivy League colleges. There are ways, and they actually have special like registration processes for homeschooled kids, and some colleges are actually seeking out homeschooled kids because they want that sort of diversity in their college. And a lot of kids that were homeschooled thrive in that college environment, and they are still able to get very good grades and
get out in 2 years.
enter the workforce. And a lot of the times, like you mentioned, they're going to college at 14, 16 years old. They're graduating early. It's almost like they're at more of an advantage.
Yes.
And the other common misconception is that a lot of people feel that they're too dumb to homeschool their kids or that they don't have the capabilities.
Oh,
and the beautiful thing about children are they are so inquisitive. Children are natural learners.
Yeah.
So you can just give your, let your kid be the guide of what they are learning. And
yeah.
I promise you, they will learn everything they need to on their own timeline.
Oh, and guess what? You're going to learn something on the way, too, if you're homeschooled.
Absolutely. Yeah, they will teach you so many things as well. I mean, it's a great thing. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the hurdles people face is that, the economy.
Yeah.
Right? So, a lot of household needs to be a two-income household, especially if now you have dependents to feed and clothe and all of those things. So, I understand that there are some very legitimate hurdles, but I also understand, most people are living beyond their means, and I've seen people completely change their lives, downscale things, and live a more, simple, wholesome life, so to speak, to be able to give their kids that that opportunity to get them out of public schools and give them a real education.
And that's a real advantage, a real opportunity. Having one stay-at-home parent is a far greater advantage to any child than having zero stay-at-home parents and sending them to daycare and sending them off to the government babysitter known as public schooling.
Yeah.
Do the research for yourself, but that evidence has been out there for some time. It's just commonly ignored because people don't want to put the effort in. People want to take the path of least resistance, and that is, the government says I should send my kids to public school. They don't want to put any effort into it. And really, you're right. You don't have to be a teacher. You just have to be an encourager.
Yeah.
You have to, when your child finds something that they're drawn to, that they're attracted to, a subject, anything, right? Encourage them to explore
and
that
give
subject.
Them, give them the resources.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. It's not, you don't have to teach them. They will learn themselves.
Absolutely.
But give them the resources. If my kid was interested in architecture, well, let's bring them to an architect. I'm sure we can find somebody in the community. And a lot of people love children and love to just teach.
Yep.
And it's I'll teach you how to, you know what I mean? Just simple things like that. It doesn't have to be so serious or so stressful or so strict.
And there's algebra. You need algebra? No, yeah.
Also, YouTube. This is the future. But you're the kids, and they're just sponges, and they can learn so quickly. So you put a kid in front of a computer, you don't even need to teach him how to use it. Maybe put parental blocks or something, but they'll figure it out themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a man of age. I'm over 50. I'm 51 now. And, okay, I might be, I lean into tech pretty heavily and have most of my life, but there are people way younger than me that are far more technical than me at this point in space and time. However, even to this day, I myself and other people of my age have figured out how to learn stuff. For example, something goes wrong and you're like, oh man, how do I fix this? You go to the YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
You washing get the machine. And, not
YouTube
working.
University.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times a week, a month, that people have been like, yeah, man, this thing happened. And then I went and I searched online and there it was. There's five videos on how to fix this thing. And bam, 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 I bought the part and I put it in and now it's fixed.
Right.
And like, but that's how people of age learn. Imagine how fast children learn.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like they're gonna pick that up, they're gonna absorb it like a sponge, they're gonna internalize it. Imagine like when I was growing up, you had to like look stuff up in the encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to find a book or a person to talk to.
That it was a recent edition of the encyclopedia. Yeah, right. If I had had the world's knowledge at my fingertips on a magic rectangle in my pocket, oh my gosh, man. Like, school is completely unnecessary. All of the things you need to learn, the basics of learning, right? Reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? The three R's, as they call it, even though one of them's an A.
It
takes a very small period of time to teach a human being how to read, how to write, and how to do math. A very small period of time. The rest of the 12 years that the government is subjecting your children to is all brainwashing. It's all indoctrination.
It's wasted time. Is what it is. It's just, in kindergarten, we all line up and hold hands like that, and then you have to waste time. This kid is being scolded because he can't sit still because you're forcing him to sit in a chair all day, and he's five, and there's a lot of time that's just spent filling time.
If you're
just letting your kid learn on their own, they will learn these concepts in so much less time, and then they will get to be free to play the rest of the day like they're supposed to. They're kids.
And public schools teach to the median, right?
Yeah.
They don't teach to the highest aptitude or the lowest aptitude. They teach to the average of the class.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? And this slows down the faster kids, and it also leaves behind the slower kids because it's too fast for them.
Yeah.
Right, there's so little specialization going on that they're trying to shove everybody into this homogenous box with a time limit on it. Now, I don't know about you, but like when I started playing guitar, for example, I didn't sit around for like 50 minutes and, you know, learn about the guitar and like pick up some tablature and try and figure out a song and then put it down and go do something else. No, I would spend hours,
repetitive,
whole days even, like on the weekends or whatever, right? Just going through, figuring out, this is how you play this, or this is the right notes to hit here, or, find, how to cover a song or get some tutelage somewhere from somebody else. But I did that all on my own, right? I didn't, there wasn't this 45-minute period with which I did this thing and a bell went off, and I was like, okay, erase my mind, on to the next thing, right? Yeah. That's not how people learn. That is the antithesis of learning.
Right. Well, when a kid gets into something, they are into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my kids, like, they're into Legos, and that's all they did was Legos, or fishing, or whatever, and they just glob onto that, and that they just want to become an expert at that. So, like, now, if I want to learn about something, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, hey, you want to learn about guitar? You want to learn about whatever?
You
do as much research. You try to get as much information as possible.
Yeah. If you're not interested in something that you're learning,
it's work.
Yeah. You're not going to remember it. You're not going to retain it. But if you're a good student, you might get an A on the test because you memorized it. But the majority of what kids are learning in public school, they forget before summer vacation.
Oh, yeah. 603-283-6160 is the number. If you would like to call and talk about whatever's on your mind, you can comment on anything we've been talking about or change the subject. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up, including a number two story.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA News update.
We could have ended up with something so much more tragic, and really fortunate that that did not occur here.
You're listening to NTSB Chair Jennifer Hamendi as the FAA orders inspections of the Boeing 737-9 MAX model after that scare in the air on Friday. A door blowing off an Alaska Airlines flight while the plane at 16,000 feet. A little boy's shirt and cell phone sucked out of the plane while passengers forced to immediately put on their oxygen masks as the pilot lands safely. To Fort Lauderdale, Florida now, and another shocker where people are absolutely stunned to see a tornado-looking funnel cloud hit. A severe weather system is moving across the country right now, bringing snow to the northeast. Here's New Jersey Governor, Democrat Phil Murphy.
We are all ready for whatever comes our way.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Slogany type catchphrase that we could invent to let people know when we are indeed back.
Like a piece of music or
only
something?
Only there was some, like a catchphrase, if you will. You know, something like three letters or shorter. You know, less than four letters anyway. To let them know.
We could say, and we're back every time we come back.
That wouldn't work.
That's a good idea.
That's too simple.
Sounds like a bit much. We'll consider it. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number, 603-283-6160. That's right.
That number again is
603-283-6160.
That number is 0.
Why does he sing the last number? I don't know.
He's like, pizzazz, a little razzle-dazzle.
He's like a crazy person. In the studio tonight, it's me, Brother Captain.
Brother Steve Classic.
And Sister Nikki.
Let's go to the phones right away. We have Ricky from the Commonwealth calling. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain. Brother Steve. Sister Nikki, good evening.
Good evening.
Yo.
Well, you know what's funny? I heard you talking about the public school system. Now, Sister Nikki will remember me talking in the past when she used to do Wednesdays with Miss Bonnie. And, you know, I'm sitting here with my battle flag. It made me think of this. The Civil War, the way they approached it. You see, it's very interesting. Now, see, here's my theory of why you have this sudden upsurge of chronic depression and suicides amongst these young people. See, when I was a young person, I took the opportunity to speak to older people. Now, there was a woman lived right next to me in the half a double I grew up in, and she told me what it was like here in Pennsylvania when it came to the Civil War. And she was 86, and she died in, like, 1985. Now, the fact of the matter is, so I knew this as a young person when I'm in kindergarten. And the reality is it checked out because I was a bookworm. Now, here's the problem. You see, when I was in kindergarten, I was already at a level where I completed the second grade. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was in the sixth grade, I was at a high school level. And by the time I was at high school, I was at a college level. And I could see where these young kids are getting this way because imagine this. Now, I could have been one of these kids. So by the time we got to the Civil War, which in my case was early on, you know, they had an interesting approach. I really didn't talk much about it. Maybe I had a lie or two for a spin, and then we just move on. The word Confederacy was never mentioned. Now, my neighbor confirmed how it was. They were split here, and no doubt, in 1864, November to be exact, we almost joined the Confederacy. And I can see how these young kids, these people are supposed to be mentors, they're teachers. But here they're lying to them. Mm. So they're getting depressed and even worse, self-destructive. That's my theory.
Well, and you got to remember, too.
I could have been one of these children.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, you know, the victors of wars write the history books, right? And
yes.
So then if the institutions of those war victors then use that as brainwashing material, why, you know, they can literally change everybody's thoughts on history.
Right. It's amazing you say that because, see, this is where you have this major thing. Now, and I spoke recently about Nikki Haley, and that was a setup question. The question was, what started the Civil War? Well, it's that question she answered correctly. Now, the second question was, what was it about? Now, she did not speak much about it. And I could see why, because it was a setup and she knew it. Now, they're still trying to pump that. And the reality is, how about this, the worst part? It was over the land. That's why 400,000 Confederate and 200,000 Union died. Lincoln said he would kill everyone on both sides for the Union. He sure as hell wasn't going to do it on slavery. That wasn't even a thought until 1863.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln was a white supremacist, tyrannical son of a bitch. He didn't care.
And that it just sounds nice, right? Like, oh, it was for slavery. You know, and it's a way to kind of
people for that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. Use your common sense.
But it was
a
way to other
people.
The Confederacy. It was a way to make the Confederacy seem like the bad guys, the slave owners, the plantation owners. And it was a way to make
slaves.
The Union look good. You know
well,
what
the
mean?
North
so,
had twice as many slaves. That's why their military was so powerful, because
yeah.
they were all in the military.
Yeah.
The rest of them down in the South, they were down the plantations to the end of the war, and they were still down there when the Union came down and said, get the hell out, and then they got screwed over ultimately again.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. There's a lot of lies that are taught in public schools, and I want to touch upon again how you were speaking to communicating with older folks in a community, and I think that is so valuable to have interactions with grandparents, but also other older folks in the community,
yes.
because they do hold a lot of wisdom, and they hold, you know, a lot of information about the old ways, you know, and especially in the age that we're in right now where things are changing so rapidly, there's so much wisdom that's being lost, and I feel like the government through these schools, it's not by accident that the family unit is being torn apart and separated.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids kind of think nowadays, like, old people are stupid, they're crazy, like, they don't know what they're talking about. And really, like, older people in a community, like, that's where the wisdom is. Like, that's who should
right.
be teaching the children. But instead, you have some 25-year-old teacher who is like, you know what I mean? And right. I don't... You know,
what experience do they have, right?
Well, exactly. So, like, if you're going to have a teacher, shouldn't it be an older person with right. much more life experience?
Well, and you want to look at, too, before the Prussian-style system yeah. was implemented, most of the schoolhouses that existed did what they call teaching down.
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, there wasn't this, oh, well, if you're in this grade, you're over here, and you're separate from all the other kids, except maybe during recess.
No, there was a lot yeah. of age mixing.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of age mixing, and in fact, the teachers would rely on the older students who had already learned a whole bunch of stuff to help them teach yeah. down, right, to the younger kids. Now, what does that do for the older kids? Well, it reinforces everything they've already learned, but it also teaches them a much more valuable skill, which is how to teach.
Right.
Yeah, well, and a responsibility of mentoring a younger person. There's
right.
a school in Massachusetts called the Sudbury Valley School. It's
yes.
in Sudbury, Massachusetts. And they use an unschooling model. So there's a lot of age mixing going
yes.
on, and the kids are allowed to like choose their path in learning, and they have a lot of freedom. And they'll notice that in this particular school and in a lot of other settings like this, the kids, like the older kids, will find a child that's a few years younger than them, and they will mentor them.
Yeah.
And they will become very protective of the child, and they will kind of become like a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And it teaches kids there's a lot less bullying in these situations because you're less likely to bully someone that's younger than you than a peer that's your same age.
Right.
It teaches them how to have responsibility to care for somebody that's younger, the skills of teaching and passing along that knowledge. I mean, there's so many really beneficial things that come from age mixing
yep.
that just doesn't happen in public school because you're with all 9-year-olds and you know you have to yep. teach the state curriculum mm-hmm. and the teachers don't even have freedom to teach the kids what they want to teach or the subjects because it's all about the state mandatory testing
yeah.
and making sure the kids can score high enough on those mandatory testing.
And so they get a raise.
Well,
exactly,
yeah.
so they get a raise.
Get more money.
There's a stigma associated, too, with this sort of like the age in-betweeners, right? So if you're like just on the cusp of the school year with your birthday or whatever, you might be a grade behind because
yeah.
your birthday hasn't happened, even though
right.
all of your peers are in a grade ahead of you. And then,
yeah, it's just this arbitrary date that they just chose.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you don't graduate, quote unquote, to the next grade with, you know, your chosen set of, their chosen set of your peers, right, then you're made to feel like a failure because
yep.
you didn't keep up with the rest of the 9-year-olds or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the antithesis of learning. That's punishing somebody for something that is out of their control.
It's age discrimination.
It totally is.
Yeah. Ricky?
Well, it's funny. I've said many, many times, all the state is a strong arm extension of the federal government. The federal government like to hide. And the state mm-hmm. like to hide in different ways. And it reminds me of your earlier caller, the first caller. He shouldn't be surprised because that's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The state's doing the dirty work. The federal government, the good guys in this, you see, we're not at fault here. It's not us, of course. It's the state, and it's all confusing. There's nothing confusing about it.
Well, if the state picks up all the work, I'm sure the federal government can just write them a check. And that's probably what the state
no
wants.
No doubt. You said it. I didn't there, Brother Steve.
Well,
no,
if that's true, that's just an educated guess.
Yeah. Hey, Ricky, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. I want to circle back to, well, the number one story before we get to the number two story. Steve reminded me that we really hadn't talked about it very much, but...
We interrupted the program.
We did. It was important.
It was great.
And it was a great
hour. Yeah. It was really good.
America, that's the United States, has borrowed $1 trillion since the start of football season. Since September, let's just say.
How many zeros are in a trillion?
Oh.
I honestly...
A lot.
Seven?
I uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Must be the storm?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, lights have been flickering. Ugh.
We may still be live.
We are...
We may still
we
be live.
We might still be live, because I'm seeing the compressor working
over
there.
I can't hear my headphones, so...
Yeah.
All right, so if you're listening, if you're still hearing our voices,
going on.
We're getting flickering lights up here with
we're
us.
Waiting.
Is this what they were talking about with the snow in New England? They tried to warn all the Floridians store. Tried to warn us about this, but we didn't listen.
Or maybe we just lost our headphone feed. I don't
know.
I mean, that's kind of what I was hoping.
All right, so the captain has to take over the starship here. Okay. So.
Anyways, how many zeros is this in a trillion?
I don't know.
My guess was 7 because there's 6 in a million.
But then you get to a billion, then
so
a thousand
what, 9?
Billion? I don't know. But I did the math. If you divide a trillion by the football season, which is roughly 4 months, it's $250 billion a month. And I was like, oh, then divide that by 30 days. It's, I don't know, 5 or 6 billion a day.
That's crazy.
In borrowing, you know, so who is it the Federal Reserve that's like...
I also don't really love the word borrowing. In this case, you know what I mean? Because where they're borrowing it from the Federal Reserve, so essentially they're just printing more money. Like, who? They're not actually borrowing it. They're just destroying the economy worse than it already
was. Well, they're loaning it into existence. That's how money is made. It's loaned. So
that's how fiat currency is made.
So it's loaned to the federal government, $1 trillion, and then... magically, more money has to come back to the bank. You know, $1.5 trillion has to come back, or whatever, $1 trillion and $1 billion. You know, interest payment of $1 billion.
So, and considering we're how many trillion dollars in debt?
I think it was 30.
About 35?
34. We just passed the 34 trillion.
So, I don't know if it's going to come back.
At that pace, I think by next year at this time, we'll be at 40 trillion, roughly.
Yeah.
And like where is the you know, is it 50 trillion, 100 trillion, what's after a trillion, a quadrillion? Can we be 34?
a gazillion?
We're a gazillion dollars in debt.
And that's the thing, it's like, when are people going to finally admit that the system has failed? Is it when we're a gazillion dollars? These are made up numbers, because at one point in time they were unfathomable.
Right, even a trillion.
And now...
it was like $1 trillion. Like, wow, that's a lot of money. And now it's like, $34 trillion, no big deal.
Maybe the U.S. could take a page out of Venezuela's book, and they just kept taking the currency back and then, like, changing it. Like, oh, this is the new currency, and they would just, like, take away, like, slash off a bunch of zeros.
Right.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, this is the new... I forget what their currency was called, but, oh, this is the new... whatever.
Peso or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the new one, and they would just slash off like 4 zeros from it. They'd make everybody, you know, bring their money back to the bank and then reinstitute the new money that was...
Well, that's always the fear, is like they're going to do it on a long weekend, like a Thanksgiving weekend, where you can't get your money Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, banks are closed. We're going to revalue the currency. Yeah. And that's why people are like, well, store cash. Like, well, what good is cash going to do? You know, you've got to store value. And the thing is, like, what I'm doing with extra money, besides buying lumber, is buying durable goods that will last a long time.
Yeah.
Buying good quality
boots.
Because
that's worth more.
Yeah. If you have that, you know, if you buy it with today's dollars, it will hold its value, I think, longer as
inflation
goes up. Absolutely.
And I think that is good advice, because especially where we have all of these goods, I mean, food is becoming more and more expensive. Ammunition is becoming more, and everything is becoming more and more and more expensive, to the point where it's going to be unattainable. And we've seen this happen in other countries where the economy really tanks, and then a loaf of bread is like $50 and people can't even afford to eat. They're literally starving in the streets.
Right.
And, I mean, I hate to be all doom and gloom, but it does seem like this is kind of the direction that the United States is going in.
It's the McDonald's, what was it, the McDonald's Big Mac, the cost of the Big Mac basically tells you where the economy is going.
Yeah.
Because,
and right now it's like, what, like
$20?
We
talked about this, like, you know, how much is a Happy Meal or whatever? It's like $8 or $10 a Big Mac value meal. I don't know, $18? Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. So I just saw... someone posted something, like we were talking about, you saw something on Facebook, but someone posted that they just spent $42 for 2 hamburgers and fries at Five Guys.
At Five Guys.
Right. So you think, all right, you're going to go up for
$42, though. That's still, like, expensive. That's like a restaurant, like a sit-down restaurant meal.
Yeah, not
and
anymore.
Five Guys, I mean, it's a step above McDonald's, right? But it's still, I mean, that's still fast food. It should still be fast food prices.
Yeah. But, you know, if you think about, you know, going to the grocery store, like, I get to spend $40, You know, if you took that same $40 and said, I'm going to make hamburgers, you could probably, I don't know, at the grocery store, you could probably make 8 burgers or 10 burgers instead of buying 2. Yeah. So you're basically paying for someone to wash your dishes. And at a fast food joint, there are no dishes. So what are you paying for? The convenience of someone cooking a subpar quality burger?
I mean, that's typically how it always is, though. I mean, and that's why...
I think we might be back.
Hopefully.
We're not back.
But, I mean, that's typically just how restaurant and eating out always is.
Someone's cooking your food. Someone's washing your dishes.
And that's kind of why, you know, typically I don't even like to eat out because I always feel like I could make it better for cheaper at home.
And you're not, and if you make it at home, you're not paying tax on your meal.
Yeah.
Which in New Hampshire is 8.5%.
That's crazy.
You know, that's the tax.
Well, they got to tax us somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, hey, you want to go
or they could just not.
I know in Connecticut, the restaurant tax is 1% higher than the sales tax because Connecticut has a sales tax. New Hampshire doesn't.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you're paying 8.5% over what your meal is. So.
Yeah.
And that also is
like, that's something that people actually don't really consider most of the time when they're calculating those costs.
Right.
People rarely think about the tax because it is rolled into the total. I remember when I was in California, because at this point I was so used to living in New Hampshire with no sales tax.
That's right.
I was in LA County, and I forget what the sales tax was, but I think it was like 9% or something like astronomical.
Well, it's a state tax and a county tax.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think New York is the same way.
So the county tax in LA County was... I was buying something that was $20, and I knew it was $20 out of the price. So I went to scan it. That was the only thing I was buying. And then she charged me for like $23, $24, $26, something like that. And I was like, I don't really care about, like, the few bucks, but I just want to let you know, like, that's what it was priced at. I'm being overcharged. Like, it just wasn't.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not really going to fight you about it, but just to let you know, I was just mentioning it to the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, that's a tax. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't hear me. Like, it was, like, $3 on $20. And she's like, yeah, that's the tax.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. And then I went and did the math. I was like, oh, yikes. Yeah, it was almost like 10%.
Wow.
For the tax. I think they had the highest tax in the country. But even so, and it's like all of those people that live there, I mean, a ton, millions of people live in LA County.
Every day they're
buying. And I'm sure all those people, I mean, that's a very rich area to live, so I'm sure they're spending a ton of money, and they're just paying all of these taxes without even thinking about it. It just gets rolled into the total.
Right.
And they don't even think about it.
Well, I bought some stuff in Connecticut, and I'm dealing with a vendor there, and I wasn't dealing with my regular salesman. So the kid said, it came up like $200, and he says, it's $212. I said, well, you know, I'm shipping this stuff to New Hampshire, there's no sales tax. He goes, well, you have to pay the sales tax.
Not if you're shipping it to New Hampshire, technically. I mean, on Amazon.
Right. Well, this was in Connecticut. So anyway,
yeah.
It was through a vendor, but not through Amazon. But he said,
no, but still, I mean, like the point is typically where you're shipping it
So I'm trying to educate the kid on no sales tax. And I, you know, he may or may not have known this. So he goes, it's only $12.
But it's $12 for the state. I mean,
right. So I said, well, it's only $12. Then give me $12. And he was like, I didn't see it that way. It's that way.
Yeah.
So.
No, and that's the thing, too. And it's not about the $12, right? It's about where the $12 is going. You know what I mean? And that was, like, my point with the phone charger or whatever I was buying. I was like, I don't love Walmart as a corporation. I don't think, you know, I don't love giving them my money. You know, I'd rather give my money to, like, a mom-and-pop store or a friend or something. But giving $3 to Walmart feels a lot better, or the lumber yard or wherever the supplier you're talking about. Giving $3 to a business feels a lot better than giving $3 to the state. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like ammo that they're going to use to like shoot little kids overseas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is funding the war machine.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you will about Walmart or Amazon, but they're not actively murdering people as far as I know.
But they are holding out. It's funny because if you're a business, and you're charging sales tax, you're basically, the state is employing you to take money.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, then you have to do all the paperwork to report yeah. that money.
And that's actually a great way. That's a great way to put it. It's like the
they should kick back some money to you. Hey, thanks for doing our work for us.
Yeah. Well, and that's like you know, back in the day in, you know, early America, where they would have to have the tax man come physically to from town to town to collect the tax
collector,
revenue.
Right.
The tax collector.
Yeah.
Now all of this stuff is automated, but you know, if your family's starving and the tax collector comes and he's like, "You owe me this much money and you don't have it," I mean, and that's where a lot of, you know, turbulence started in early America.
Right.
Because people were more concerned with feeding their families and, you know, that, you know, the English come and they're like, you know, we need money from you, and they're demanding money from you and you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just people are so conditioned.
Well, it's also, you know, if you look at if you have a regular job and you get tax taken out of your check.
Yeah.
A little bit.
The 30%
right.
or so.
Right. So, you know, you have FICA, Social Security,
yeah.
all the other little associated money that comes out of your check, and people don't see that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm getting money back from the government in April.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, they stole that from you, and now right. somehow they owe you.
Right. So as being self-employed, you have to write that check every quarter and
yeah.
send it to the United States Treasury.
Yeah.
And if everyone had to write a check quarterly to the United States Treasury.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's actually true. I think people would feel a lot differently about it.
Right. They're seeing like a $3,000, $5,000 check. Like, what?
But even I remember when I was 16 years old and I got my first job and I looked at my pay stub and I did the math out, right? So I'm like, oh, I'm making this much money per hour.
Right.
So I knew what to expect. I did the simple math in my head.
$10 an hour, 30 hours, I'm getting $300.
Exactly. Right. I knew how much money I was supposed to make.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the paycheck and I'm like, well, they shorted me a lot.
$264.
Yeah, like this is a lot less. And then they have the breakdown. And at that point, because this is the stuff they don't teach you in public school, right?
Right?
So I had no clue how much money was being taken out of my paycheck. Mind you, I'm 16 years old, working a minimum wage job. I don't have benefits. I'm on my mom's health insurance. Like, I'm not paying into all of the other things. This was just tax, and it was close to 3 to 1/3 of my paycheck.
Right. All right, you're listening to Free Talk Live as the captain is continuously plugging things in. Hopefully we're still hanging in there. Give us a call back, 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up after this.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.